Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Weekdays from 6.
Click Keno from only $1 a game. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Triple M. Get ready for the new look Rush Hour.
You guys are not going to regret this. We're going to get so much more activities done.
This is the funnest night ever.
It's game time.
Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang! Another nail.
Bernie Vince. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars for PuraTap. Don't miss the crazy prices at their massive moving-in sale. Water purifiers, designer taps, they're all priced to go. Call PuraTap 133502.
G'day everybody, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Triple M's Rush Hour. Welcome aboard. This beast of a show is dangerous and aroused for the next hour and a half. Tommy Hawkins is being quarantined from his teammates due to illness. Oh, dear, that's scary.
Ooh.
World number one, Ash Barty, what a superstar she is, will present the AFL Premiership Cup. I don't agree with that, Bern, but we'll talk more about that.
Yep.
Port Adelaide players in exit meetings today with senior coach and coaching staff down there, so good luck there. And the Eagles unveil their colours on the West End Brewery chimney in what could be the last time. But one man that's built like a chimney, and we love him to death, is our very own Bernie Vince. Good afternoon to you, Bern, on this beautiful Tuesday.
Oh, beautiful day. Yeah. Thanks, Jazz. G'day, Hato, as well. Why am I built like a chimney? What am I?
Just
smoke,
rugged.
Full of smoke just, coming out
you
of
know,
me.
And on fire. Class.
That's it. All class. So chimneys are all class, are they?
They are. Hey, all class.
Excited, though, about the Eagles' colours going just above the North Adelaide colours.
Yes.
And, you'll be able to run straight past them, Jars, when you do your bet.
Yes.
You'll be able to look to the left and go,
we'll kilometres to go. Yeah, right. You can sink the boots in a bit more if you want.
Hey, Tommy Hawkins, that's big news, Jars. That's
scary
big news.
Scary.
Big news.
So he's got a virus. He's carrying a virus. That's why they've quarantined him.
Imagine that.
Mm. So then, if he goes out, that's a that then changes the whole dynamic of the grand final.
Yep.
Who comes in for him? Josh Jenkins?
Radaglia. Asava Radaglia will come in,
Bird.
I would say, if he... you know what? I'd have Radaglia in. I know Gary Rowan kicked... We'll get to the footy chat later, but Gary Rowan kicked four goals in the prelim. I would have had Radaglia in. But anyway, right, that's just me.
That's it, Bern. We've got plenty to get through, family, so stick around. And Tom Rockliffe will join us, the Port Adelaide superstar. I think he'll poll well in the John Cale medal. I think he'll be in the top two or three, our boy Thomas.
Just keeps getting it done.
And what about Bern's beef?
Oh, I'm not happy about something, Jazz.
You are filthy. I've never seen you like this. And, and this is a dagger towards the AFL.
And this is genuine. This is, you know, I have a bit of fun with the beef. I'm
Yeah, I've
deep
never
down,
seen you like this.
I'm
stewing.
Yeah. And you're right, I am a chimney. There's smoke coming out of me.
Yeah, that's why, I'm glad you got to it.
Don't get me fired up early. Let me get to the beef. Let's get to it. Come on.
Okay. All right. Well, plenty to get through. Heyday's back on deck. Where have you been, Heyday?
Oh, I thought that Bernie was organising the beef because you and I get kicked out of the studio. No, you and I get kicked out of the studio.
There's plenty team rules and guidelines on this show,
I do apologise.
Heyday's just walking around the streets of Adelaide.
Heyday smells like a chimney. What do you mean smoking?
No, I haven't done
It's in your beard.
Oh,
you got ash in your beard.
There we go. There we go.
No wonder he's happy.
No, we're good. Tom Rockliffe on the show. No, we covered that. I've turned it into Greg Blewett.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Rockliffe!
From the Port Adelaide Football Club.
Rockliffe's got one.
Please welcome Tom Rockliffe.
Now he's got his name on the paper. Yep.
Oh, look, for me, he's got to win the John Cale medal. Best player, best and first winner. But he's been fantastic here on the Rush Hour all year. I think it's his last show, Bern, before
Is
he wraps up for 2020.
No.
And then obviously he'll sit down and negotiate a new, bigger contract with Triple M next year because we love having him. And welcome, Thomas.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
And I'll just clear it up. There's nothing wrong with going home with a dog, Jazz, by the way.
No, we love our dogs. We love our pets.
No, we do. And you especially love
them. I've got three of the beautiful little things.
I know you do, yes, and you do love them. Hey, Rock, how have you been, mate?
Oh,
what's been the wash-up? Because I could see you're a bit emotional after the game.
Yeah.
I was getting a bit emotional actually at home watching. How have you been?
Yeah, not too bad, Bern. Obviously, you have a couple of days to think about it, and I think when it's so close, you tend to think about moments in the game and what could have I done differently or what if the ball had to bounce this way or the ball had to bounce that way. I think I said to someone, I think it would have been easier to get over if you had a loss by 10 goals, but when you go down by 6 points, it's a pretty hard one to swallow when you feel like you should be probably playing this week, but you're not. And credit to Richmond. They were the better team on the night and walked away with the win, so they get their opportunity this weekend.
And you speak of big moments. Well, I'll tell you a big moment. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up when Big Chuck went back in the last quarter and kicked that one from 50 metres out. I thought, here you come, here you go, and this is the moment. You've taken it. You're going to run away with it now. But did that get you up? Did that fire you up?
Yeah, it did. I think when he went back and kicked that, it felt like, right, now we just need the knockout punch, and we just couldn't get it, unfortunately. And they're a quality team, and they have been for a number of years, and that's probably why they're never out of it. And we just couldn't get that killer blow. And credit to them for staying in the game. And, yeah, we just couldn't get past them. So when Charlie went back and kicked that, it felt like, yeah, we're on here, boys. That's really finished strong. But credit to Richmond. They got the next couple of centre clearances and put the game away, which was disappointing from a midfielder's point of view.
Right, when you reflect on the performance and the year, deficiencies, one area that, I harp on it all the time, but that last kick inside forward 50, it's got to be a lot better moving forward. It's got to be more efficient moving forward. I know sides defend to the inch of their life, but that's one area that this side has to work on over pre-season, surely.
Yeah, I think we just need to get a little bit sharper, and you've got to continue to improve if you want to get back to where you were the previous year. You've got to improve again, and there's no doubt there's certain aspects of our game that we will look at and try and improve over the summer. And I think it's always that's the money kick going inside 50. So I think we've just got to maybe look at sharpening that up. I think we expect a lot of Charlie Dixon at times just to bring it to the fore, and then the smalls get around it. So we're predictable on that front. But if we can get some easier goals, then we absolutely need to look at ways to do that.
Have you reviewed the match? I mean, you touched a little bit on that clearance sort of let you down, centre clearance. But have you got around as a group and just pinpointed where you lost the game? I mean, it can go either way when a final's that close, but have you pinpointed anything?
No, we haven't. We've had our exit reviews and we identified a couple of things, just speaking to Kenny post-game and the next couple of days where we tried to change a couple of things that we probably, in hindsight, wouldn't have around stoppages. We felt like their winger started to impact the play a little bit more in the second half. And not necessarily the first possession, but it was more a second possession thing. Yep. And they were able to get territory off that. And our game this year has been win clearance, keep get it in our front half and make sure the territory game was, we won that, but we weren't able to do that on Friday night. So I think there's things to take out of it, lessons learned. Overall, I think we've had a pretty good season. No one probably expected us to play finals at all. We went from the start to the finish on top, got to a prelim. Lost that by 6 points to probably the best team in the competition over the last 4 years. So, reflection, it's been probably a positive year. It doesn't feel like it at this point in time. And we expect greatness, and I think our supporters do as well. So, we've got opportunities to improve and get better, and we've got to do that over the summer to make sure we're playing in the grand final next year.
Well, unprecedented year. There's no question in our great game. Ken Hinckley coached well. Team was united. Five players in all Australian side. Bokey second in the Brownlow. Dixon second in the Coleman medal. It's been a bloody good year if you look at it, Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the growth of the whole playing group has been huge. And then we've obviously had a couple of superstars retire as well. And we weren't able to send them off quite as we would have liked, but Evo's had an outstanding career in Westie as well. So two greats of the footy club have hung the boots up. So it's been an incredible year. As you said, unprecedented, 150th year for the footy club. I think on reflection, it's been a pretty good year all over.
I just want to touch on Brad Ebert for a minute. What about that last effort? Cool. Just summed him up, didn't it? Back with the flight, put his body on the line for the team. He gave his all right to the end, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. You probably would have played 250 games if you had attacked it like that, Boone. But
No, I was waiting. I was waiting before he launched.
No, I would have. I just got suspended for 20, so then that would have taken me to 250.
He got suspended.
Cheap shots off the ball. That's all right.
No, I just got a few things wrong.
Credit to it. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way he attacked every contest. I think a guy that had so many head knocks probably was warranted not to go back with the flight like he did in that contest. But that's him, and that's the way he played the game. And, unfortunately, came off second best. And his health now is the most important thing to him and his family. And we wish him all the best.
Now, I know it's been your Mad Monday week, so I've got. I normally put players in three categories, Jazz.
Right. Yep.
There's
yep.
always a seasoned veteran that yes. just can just go all
Keep
day,
going.
And you're just on and on
no
and
sleep.
On.
You know,
he's
yep.
never. He's just not going to stop.
He's
this
the
bloke.
Veteran.
So we need someone to put
right.
in that category.
Done.
I need someone just. This is a surprise packet.
Right.
Just normally a youngster that surprises everyone, that can go harder than what you think,
yeah,
but hasn't
good.
Drank all year.
He goes
the
in,
third one
right.
is the letdown.
Yeah.
It's the big expectation who just lets you down,
does the
and
runner.
Goes home early.
Does the runner.
Doesn't
tell anyone.
Get a
yeah.
Yep, exactly right.
So right.
have you
Tommy,
got a player for
here
each
we go.
Category for me,
yes.
please?
So your veteran, your one that just turns up, Tom Cleary.
oh, yes.
Good boy, Tommy.
Country boy, 10 a.m. message, pub.
Nice.
Yeah, good boy. And he's still going, I'm led to believe, with James Rowe from the Eagles.
Still going. 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
Right.
He's that tight.
Done.
Well done.
Surprise packet?
Your surprise packet would be someone like your Zach Butters or Connor Rosie.
Oh,
they,
yes.
they lead all the recruiters on, oh, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do that. And then... 12 months, 24 months into the system, you can't keep them off it. So that's probably been the surprise.
They're corrupted, so they're done. Zach Butters and, yep, all right. And what about the runner?
The big expectation.
Oh, the runner. Yeah. The runner is has to be Robbie Gray.
Unfortunately,
he's got a couple of kids at home, and he's the 4:30 in the Arvo bolter.
Oh,
no. He's 4:30.
No. I'm thinking 4:30 a.m.
does
a bolter.
That's
not too bad. But 4:30 p.m.
Oh, Rob.
Come on, Robbie.
That's just devastating news.
How have you been, too, Rob?
Yeah, where
you
are been, you? Where you are you good? In that? Yeah, what category would you be in? I reckon you'd be in the first one.
Shocking. No, I'm in the last one.
Oh,
I'm in the last one these days.
He's a runner.
No, you're not. Don't admit it.
I had a bit of a crack the first night, and then I've tried to avoid it from then on. But we're going out for dinner tonight, so we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, mate, Bern and I are going to take you to Stansbury, mate, we're 3 or 4 days solid. No sleep, and it's non-stop, so you better get ready.
Right? I look forward to it.
All right. Mate, love your work. Very proud of you, mate, and have a good night tonight, and we'll speak again, young man.
Good on you. Thanks for the year, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure.
Mate, Tommy
Thanks,
Rockcliffe,
mate.
What a superstar, Bern.
He's been a star. He'll be high on the John Cale medal,
all
too.
Right.
Triple M. Batten down the hatches. Hold on to your hats on Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars.
You got beef with me.
It's time for Bernie's Beef.
For country living homes, anything from transportable and lightweight homes to brick veneer and luxury constructions.
Well, it's Tuesday. That means it's Bern's Beef, and everyone's waiting to see who he's going to launch and tirade towards them. And I say, good afternoon, Bern.
Hey, Jars, have you heard about the MCG turf relocation debacle?
No, I haven't, Bern.
Oh, you haven't?
No,
well,
Bern.
Well, let me just, enlighten you some of the shit that is happening across the border there in Victoria. Now, part of the MCG's goal square, Jars.
Yes, Bern.
Is going to be cut up.
Yeah.
Put in a truck.
Yeah.
Driven up to the Gabba.
What?
And you know what they think they're doing?
What?
They're putting the G in the Gabba. Shove it up your ass.
The G.
I've never heard anything so stupid in my life.
What?
So they have to transport the MCG goal square, which, is, mind you, is only 2 pieces of grass, 3 metres by 1 metre.
That's it.
Which is bullshit.
Yes, Bern.
1,800 kilometres, Jars, to Brisbane,
yes.
to the Gabba.
Yeah.
It requires a team of expert horticulturalists from both states to manage this living thing.
Living?
I mean, the MCG turf manager, Michael Salvatore,
yes.
is his name. He reckons there is, and I'll put in quotes, a romance in knowing that part of
rubbish.
The G will be at the Gabba, Jars.
No
he
way.
He hopes that when the players... run out onto the Gabba,
yes,
it'll
Bern.
Cross their minds and give them a boost.
Oh, what a load
well,
of rot.
F*** me. What happens if it was Port v Brisbane, you c***head, and no Victorian team? They wouldn't give a f***ing stuff. That's why. Now, this grass
yes.
has to be handled in a delicate way.
With gloves
it's
on?
Gloves, like it looks like they're going to the moon. What they're wearing. It's a bit of grass.
That's all it is.
It's in high priority
yes.
overnight temperature controlled transport ahead of its arrival. I can't even spit it out because those words are too f***ing big.
Where does it arrive?
Well, it's a complex exercise, Jazz.
Oh, is it now?
Well, that's got me thinking, because in Victoria at the moment,
yes,
should the grass have to quarantine for 14 days?
Yeah!
Should the grass have to wear a face mask in public? Can the grass only meet with one other household in the park for 1 hour a day and only exercise for half an hour a day? Yes. The piece of shit!
And how far in kilometres as it has to be when it goes out for a walk?
Well, we're only allowed to go 25 kilometres. The thing's gone 1,800 kilometres of sake! And, Jazz, I haven't even got to the punchline yet.
What is it, Boone?
You know what it's going to cost?
How much?
$100,000.
No.
$100,000 in this economic climate that the AFL has just lost millions of dollars and they're throwing money away.
Oh, no.
Now, Jazz.
Yes, Burn.
They're doing this
because
for the romance of the whole thing.
Oh, romance.
And you know what?
What, Burn?
Shove the grass up your ass and see if that provides any romance for you, you corporate box.
Go. Here he goes.
Oh, next thing they'll make the bloody piece of grass wear a tie in the goal square.
Burn.
Can I get a bit of Adelaide Oval grass at my house?
Well, for $100,000, yes, I can organise that, Jazz. But if they wanted a piece of the MCG at the Gabba, Jazz, what is wrong with just grabbing a f***ing seat or a picket from the fence or a beer tap or something that you can just post up there?
What
a load of shit. They're taking a living organism up there, Jazz. I hope the truck conks out and cooks the grass. And in the end, they have to roll it up and smoke it.
Here he goes. He wants the grass.
A load of shit.
Oh, what a waste of money, Burn.
That's my beef.
And El Chapo Salvador, you're fired.
Well, they roll the grass up and smoke it, Jazz. They'll get more of a hit out of that than put it at the Gabba. And that's my beef, and I've got no voice left.
Burn, let's talk about Ash Barty. Now, we love Ash Barty. She's a wonderful person and a wonderful tennis player.
Yep.
But I don't think she should be presenting the Premiership Cup on Saturday if the Richmond Football Club win the grand final.
Is she presenting
it? Yes, sir. Why? Look, Dale Waitman, a former great of the club, should be. Alex Rance,
Kevin
a former
Bartlett.
Great. You know, Ian Nankervis will present the cup should Geelong prevail.
Mm.
Now, I'm not. This is not a sexist or a bloody man v women.
No.
Ash Barty loves her Tigers.
Yes, but we saw her at the Gabba during the final having a drink.
I don't think she should be presenting the Premiership Cup.
No, I'm with you.
If Ash Barty wins the Australian Women's Open next January, well, that means Jack Revolt or Trent Cotchin should be able to present.
Yeah, and you're not saying it because she's a female tennis player.
All.
It could be if it's Nick Kyrgios.
Anyone from another code, absolutely.
In the world. It's more about...
You agree or not? Or is it just me being stupid?
I totally agree, because normally the cup ambassador, that's a role of an ex-player, a superstar at that football club, which, you know, in the past has been...
Yeah.
This year was going to be Byron Pickett if Port Adelaide were in it. So he was going to be one presenting. So then, like, it's been Simon Black, Mark Rusciuto did it 1 year, Jonathan Brown's done it. But Ash Barty now, I don't know, if they've changed the rule, that's fine, but they need to come out and say it.
But anyway,
so
look,
it's a bit bizarre, isn't it?
Just our opinion, all the best. Enjoy it, Ash, if your boys get up, but we don't agree with it. Anyway.
What do you think, family? 0488 51 0047.
Now, Boone, let's talk about the Richmond Football Club again. Their CEO, Brendan Gale, who I believe one day should be the CEO of the AFL competition.
He's outstanding in his role, Jazz.
My word. Now, let's go back 10 years ago when Brendan Gale said this about his 10-year plan regarding the Richmond Football Club. Have a listen.
We've got to make the right decisions, mate, because you're talking about three flags by 2020. Mate,
absolutely. We've got to make the right decisions in the most competitive sport just about in the world and one of the most competitive phases in our eras in the history of the game. And, mate, I make no apologies for the fact we want to be the best football club. We want to be the greatest.
You cop some flack about the fact that you put an internal document that got out earlier than you would have liked. Yep. Spoke of a membership target of 75,000, yep. Three flags in 2020, and this over this 5-year plan or 10-year period.
It starts with a vision, and we're not here just to compete. No one is. There's no point. You might as well pack up and go. No, I'm not embarrassed. I'm actually proud of that. And we've got a vision to compete and to be the best on the field, the best off the field. If we're not locked into that, we might as well pack up and go home.
Oh, don't you just love to hear that?
I remember hearing that at the time, and even I was a bit. You know, Gary Lyon asked him if he was embarrassed that that got out.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'm not embarrassed. And I love how he stood by his words, Jars, and he said it all starts with a vision.
Mm.
You have to have something to aim for. If you just cruise along, you end up middle of the road for years, and that's what a lot of teams do. But he came out and said he wanted to win three flags in 10 years. This is in 2010. And going for their third premiership on Saturday.
Right.
So that's working out right. Tick. He wanted to get them up to 75,000 members. Right. And I think recently they just topped 100,000 members, Jars.
Wow.
So everything he said.
Debt free.
And they are the powerhouse club now. I think they've probably taken over from Collingwood.
I think they
as
have.
The power,
no,
the
they
Collingwood
have.
Were always the powerhouse,
no, not
biggest Victorian club. Yeah. I think Richmond have surpassed them. And I know success does help.
Yeah.
But they're going to stick with them for life now, Jars, those
mate.
Members.
And
so
debt-free with cash reserves of $24.4 million.
Unbelievable.
This is the Richmond Football Club. Prior to that, they were broke. They were the laughing stock of AFL football.
Yep.
No respect.
Yep.
They weren't a destination club.
Nope.
They were a complete rabble pre-2010.
Basket case, Jars. Basket case.
Go.
And, you know, people would laugh at them because they'd finally thought they were going right and they'd finished ninth. They finished ninth a few years in a row.
No.
You know, and people laughed at him. But that is amazing.
Yep.
Amazing story. He was the CEO, actually, of the AFLPA as well,
Brendan
before
Gale
he went
was,
to
yes.
Richmond.
Very,
so,
mate, he's got to be the next AFL
everything
CEO.
He's touched has turned
he's
to gold. So you just feel like that's the natural progression. But I'm sure he's just very happy staying at club level at the moment. Because that, again, that comes with a lot of pressure, the AFL role, and a lot of scrutiny.
Vision.
But
before we move on, what's our 5-year plan or 10-year plan? Have we got anything? Are we in debt?
I'm just trying to keep my head above water.
Are we 5 years? Were you not a destination show? Are we? Where are we?
The Rubs looking at him though. So
not yet.
But
to turn your club around or turn us around, Judge, you need to bottom out, and I feel like we're just bottoming out now.
What?
We need to
put your fucking manager doing nothing.
We need to get
fucking nothing. No, Woody is doing nothing. Get the fuck out of here.
Jazz, no point finishing middle of the road. We need to bottom out, get some good draft picks, and then we'll come hard.
The Hino 300 Rush Hour Dump, where Bernie and Jars unload their opinions on everything from a hard-hitting knock, breathtaking play, or even a nod to the bloke who interrupted a news crew with his Timmy and 2 cents.
Sir, I don't really give a f***. How am I supposed to get a cent on me?
This is the Hino 300 Rush Hour Dump. Head to triplem.com.au to go in the running to win a Hino 300 Series tipper truck. Built for safety, ready for anything. That's another Hino advantage.
Spot on. Nah, can't wait to get in one of those burn, the old tipper truck. And you were born and bred up Stansbury with the tipper trucks, weren't you?
Yes, we were, yes. Hino,
now,
good truck.
Now, this is where we unleash. It's not the Burns beef, but this is where we've got to dump on someone.
Yeah, I'm not happy with something, Jars. My dump is on the numbskull, the bonehead, that threw that drink on Tom Lynch while he's doing the interview at Adelaide Oval after the game.
Okay.
Now, what a stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
No, first of all, it's dangerous.
Yes, sir.
Secondly, you can hurt kids. You can hurt anyone around you.
Yeah.
And thirdly, he was disappointed that he got a two-year ban.
He was disappointed.
He should have got 10 years. He should have got life.
Correct.
You cannot be throwing objects. I don't care if it's water, alcohol, a chop, a pasty.
Yeah.
You cannot throw
chocolate
anything at
a
professional athlete,
Jars.
And I don't care if it's a piece of paper that can never hurt him. You do not throw things at sporting athletes ever. And to that bloke, he's lucky he's allowed to come back after 2 years. Because I reckon that's light on.
Well done. Good that's stuff. My dump. Lovely dump. Can I give you one? I'm tired and annoyed hearing some media and footy supporters saying Paddy Dangerfield deserves a grand final win. What makes Paddy Dangerfield more deserving than the rest of us?
Oh, good call.
That's actually a good point, Jazz.
You know,
I am hearing this a lot.
Tony Lockett, Nick Revolt.
Yes.
They never won a grand final. So who in the hell are coming out saying he deserves to win a grand final? No one deserves, win a grand final. You must earn your spot to win a grand final.
Yes.
Nothing against Dangerfield.
No.
Mate, he's a super player, worst foot skills in the competition, but he's a very, very good player. But what makes Paddy Dangerfield more deserving than any of us that have ever played this great game in grassroots state league football or the AFL?
Here, Jars, I'm with you. I've heard that 50 times already this week, and it's only Tuesday. Yeah, exactly. And I think they want the fairy tale because he's been a super player and he's won Brownlows. Mm. He's done eight All-Australians.
Yeah,
they
want to
just put that on his resume.
Well
but
done.
You can't just put things on people's resume. They've got to earn it, Jars. I'm with
you.
God, I agree. Burns coming back.
Great dump. I've got to calm down because I've already lost my voice.
All right, there's my dump.
Hey, Jars, well, you're into your coaching, Jars. You're going to coach Williston again this year, but it comes with its pressures, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, you're at a bit lower level than the top level at the moment, but it's still similar pressure. And I heard an interesting thing on Monday night on 360 with Robbo, and, you know, what they were interviewing Alistair Clarkson, and they were asking him all about coaching and different thoughts and what processes he goes through. And it just concerned me a little bit of what he said. Now, I've got this grab here. I want you just to listen very carefully to it.
Yeah.
I'm a bit concerned for our profession, particularly the 17 peers in the roles that we've got. You know, Hurdy, Bomber Thompson, Bales, Walshy, Lades, Spud Frawley, Pikey, now Reece Shaw. And there's probably others too, you know, who have done it tough. And in our industry, in our country, because it's a small fishbowl, not a large fishbowl, any coach that does it particularly tough, he has to carry that in his public life more so than what a coach would have to do in a much bigger market like America or Europe. Now, that carries an enormous strain for many in our industry, and I've got concerns given the high quality of all those lads that I've mentioned. Some have lost their lives, not directly as a result of coaching, but some of it has been stress-related. And yeah, it's sad to see what happens to such decorated people in our game. You know, the Brett Rattons and the Michael Vosses and the Matty Primuses and these type of guys, Hurdy, that were such decorated players on the field in their playing careers and then had a go at coaching. It didn't work for them. I'm concerned, and I think the game should be concerned, and we need to be doing something both as individual clubs, individual coaches too, and maybe it might be time that we have to take stock ourselves of just what our workflow is and our schedule, because it's now getting to a point where we're seeing some real casualties out of our industry, and I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah, Giles. Well, do you think it's fair?
Yeah,
do you think
absolutely.
It's fair?
He is spot on.
Yes, that's I totally agreed. And he said, you know, he mentioned some of those names, but he said he's really concerned. He thinks the game should be concerned because it's an enormous burden to carry. We need to be doing something about this. And, you know, it just doesn't affect you. It's not when you take a coaching role, and you know this, you coach at SANFL level. Mm. You coach. It's not just you coaching. Mm. It's you. It's your partner or wife. Yeah. It's your family. It's then your relations. It's your next door neighbor. You're all part of it. It's not just you. You take everyone comes along for that ride with you, and especially at AFL level, Jars, when it's a cutthroat, cutthroat industry, and they're quick to jump on you when you're not going so well, and it just seems like the pressure and the. To be honest, I never want to be a senior coach. Mm. I never, ever. And I feel like I could provide something as a coach, but that would only be as an assistant. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'd want to put, and this is not from a selfish point of view, it's more from my family's point of view. Mm. I wouldn't want to put Abby, Harvey, my parents through what the pressures that come with coaching. Because if you're a good coach and everyone wants to be a good coach, you win a premiership and they go, well done. You won a premiership. You had a good team. If you don't go so well, it's all the coach's fault. So you take all the negative stuff, and players are quick to turn on you as well. So I just don't think it's – well, it's not for me.
No.
It's not for everyone, either, Bern. No, it's not for me. At a grassroots level, I'd look at doing something, never at the top. And I know you can't just go out and choose to be an AFL coach. You've got to do your apprenticeship and work your way through, but it's not for me, thanks.
There's a lot of hats you need to wear these days as a coach, as a senior coach. Not only are you want to teach the player and teach him to become a good person, a good citizen. You become a mentor. You're a father figure. You're a teacher. You're a listener.
Yep.
A shoulder to cry on.
Yep.
So, and this you're is what counselor. These AFL, you're all that and above.
Yep.
And I reckon Clarko makes a wonderful assessment on what's happening to his peers in the game. And we are losing some very, very good people because of what's happening to our game. Do you have two AFL coaches per club?
Well,
if we're looking for a solution, do you employ two AFL coaches to take the pressure off?
Certainly shares the load, doesn't it? And I think that's a good role for the senior assistants, the clubs with senior assistants.
Yep.
Because I think that shares the burden type thing.
I don't understand why senior coaches have to do a press conference, win, lose or draw after the game. They're not in a good headspace.
That's all about the broadcast money.
So let the senior
money.
Assistant do that or alternate it.
Yep.
Your turn this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's a little thing that could go a long way.
Taking some pressure off.
Yes.
And look, but he makes a valid point, Clarko, and I'm glad that he's brought it out in the forum because it needs to be discussed moving forward.
It does. We're losing too many coaches, and Reece Shaw's the latest who's now may not ever coach again.
Yeah.
And it's just sad because he's a quality person, quality
human
being.
They're all quality people. All of them.
They are. And I just don't like to see it happening. So we need to do – the good thing is he's brought it up.
Mm.
Now it's about doing something about it, not just hearing what he said.
Yep.
They need to implement something because it's going too far.
And you know, just quickly, what about the Sandford coaches? Who looks after them when they get de-sacked? Jeff Andrews from Centrals, Grimer from Sturt.
Yep.
You know, who looks after them? Who Jared Cotton. Who's getting around Jared Cotton?
Well, who knows, Jazz?
No one.
Probably no one.
No one. Because there's nothing in place by the Sandford to protect and help the coaches moving forward.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact. Fantastic.
Here we go. That's it, family, for another Tuesday.
Yes. I'll just leave you with a couple of things to
what
head
have you
off
today,
onto
Burns?
A Tuesday
Burns
night.
Fun facts?
Yes, I have. I've got a couple for you today, Jazz.
Okay, buddy.
Jazz, do you know what you call a rainbow that happens at night?
I don't, Burn, no. What is it?
It's called a moonbow. A moonbow. If a storm is passing and the sun starts shining, you might be lucky enough to spot a rainbow. But did you know that you can see something just as amazing at night? It's called a moonbow.
You don't mean moomba.
No, moonbow. Like rainbow. Moonbow. Don't you get it?
I don't get it, Bernie. I'm sorry.
You're simple
all
brain
right,
on you.
Okay.
All right, now I've got another one.
You got one more. Please.
Yeah, this one will This one will shock you. Where are you going to get going to?
You got
nothing else going on.
Well, he's already packed up.
I've got to go home and paint.
Oh,
God.
Oh, not the gate.
Jeez, there's a fact on that.
Right, here we go.
Do you know, Jazz?
Yes, Ben.
That the Queen owns all the swans in England. All the swans!
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
She
owns, according to British law, any unclaimed swan swimming in the open waters of England.
She owns them.
And Wales belongs to the Queen.
So she knows all their names.
Not sure if she names them all, but she owns them. The law originated in medieval times when swans were a delicacy for the wealthy, but it still stands today.
God, what am I dealing with?
Queen Elizabeth II also upholds a centuries-old tradition with the swans.
Right.
Every year during the third week of July, all the swans in the River Thames are counted.
The River Thames.
You didn't pull me up on a charge. You didn't know.
No, I did know.
All the swans are counted
for
the Queen in a practice called.
Rubbish.
Guess what they call this, Jars?
What is that?
Swan upping. They call it swan upping.
Oh, buddy, you're upping.
They count them all.
Thanks for listening. I'll give you a swan.
Swan upping.
Shut up.